struggling for wages and better working conditions is to threaten its own job. That's the absurdity of this system. The more you win, the surer your loss will be. And one way that we lost in the last 40 years is companies left. They went to Bangladesh or China or India or Brazil to make more money. No secret, no mystery, nothing special, very mundane. If they could leave, they did. The courageous ones left early. The other ones were afraid, you know, you have to learn another language, work in another currency, take all kinds of risks, you don't want to do that. But when the early ones went over there and made a ton of money, everybody else got on that real quick. Otherwise, they wouldn't survive. Which is why all of you are sitting there in foreign underpants. Don't look down now, but later, check. Check. The businesses that couldn't go away to get cheap labor did that other thing. They brought the cheap labor here. You know, if you're a grower of a plant or a raiser of an animal, you can't move overseas so easily because you're stuck with the land and the climate and the soil, and so you bring the cheap labor here. If you run a restaurant for customers here, you can't move to Bangladesh. They probably won't follow you for dinner. So you've got to bring the cheap laborers here, which we did, didn't we? And you know that capitalism that I criticize so often? It's that capitalism that developed the world so unequally in the first place. What kind of crazy system develops enormous wealth in Western Europe, North America, and Japan, and staggering poverty in Asia, Africa, and Latin America? That's uneven development. That's unequal development. And you know what that does? It produces horrible poverty at one end and enormous wealth in the other. And now scratch your head and marvel with me. It turns out the people who live in those poor areas are thinking of leaving and going to the ones where there's lots of wealth. How bizarre.
And that wraps it up for another edition of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Our roving producer and producer of Flashpoints in Espanol is Miguel Gavilan Molina. Our technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net or visit our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at DennisJBernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the premiere screening of Precipice Award-funded animation project, Jen Likes Heroin, on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Jen Likes Heroin is an animated short film which takes place at the long-defunct X-Ray Cafe. Following the animation, there will be a showing of the documentary about the X-Ray Cafe called X-Ray Visions, and a short acoustic set by Sean Krogan of The Pinnacles and Cracker Bash. Again, that's a screening of X-Ray Visions and Jen Likes Heroin, and a live performance by Sean Krogan on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, KBOO listeners. You are listening to KBOO Portland. At 11:30, we have Art Focus interviews, and at 11:30, Art Focus interviews one of the creators of Black Sun. Andre Middleton will be here, and Black Sun is a collective of artists generating new images of blackness, so stay tuned for that. And then up next is Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables. Stage and Studio supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Arri LED lighting. They can be reached at 503 887-5880 or pdxspendables.com. And also Portland Saturday Market, from our hands to yours, celebrating 44 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March all the way through to Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, portlandsaturdaymarket.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna Mars from Adventures in Artslandia at Portland's KABU stage and studio. I'm in for Dime Roberts. And I, first of all, wanted to give a real shout out to Dime for what she does for our community. She's been doing stage and studio for years since I've been here in Portland. And I'm just grateful for the expertise and the joy she brings to the work she does for us. It's pretty special. And so we started off by listening to La Divina, also known as Maria Callas, singing L'amour est un oiseau rebelle by Georges Bizet. And today, I'll be talking to Ruth Wickler-Luker, curator and producer of Boom Arts, presenter and producer of contemporary theater and performance from around the world, and Sarah Slipper, artistic director of Northwest Dance Project, dedicated to the creation and performance of innovative contemporary dance works. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
It is my pleasure. And it's especially timely because tomorrow is International Women's Day, and both of your companies work with international artists. So I'm curious what you think of these kinds of partnerships and what those types of partnerships bring to our community.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Susanna, first I want to say that we are all women artistic directors in this room, so that's pretty exciting to start with. Boom Arts presents eclectic works, but many, many of the lead artists that we present are women, and a lot of the stories that we focus on are women's stories. The piece that we're about to talk about today, which is a silent puppet piece from Chile, is about a miner and his wife. It was researched carefully by the puppet collective Silencio Blanco through a residency they did in a small mining town in Chile. And as they researched this piece, they realized that the story they wanted to tell was not necessarily the miner's story, the male miner's story, but actually the wife, the story of the wife who waits for her husband to come home, who continues to, who makes his work possible by keeping the flame and keeping the home and making the babies and all of her story as well. And so those who come to see it will see that the women's side of the story is highlighted. And many of the works that we present have a similar focus on the women's story, whether it's a woman who's waiting for her migrating husband to come home, whether it's a play we presented from India about a mother whose daughter's teen sexual experiences were documented on a viral cell phone video, but it's really the focus on the mom in this play. So it's really a focus on international women's stories that we want to bring to Portland, bring to the stage.
It's interesting because when I think about it, it didn't occur to me, of course, that both the pieces you're doing coming up are focused on women, including Carmen, which you're working on, Sarah, definitely focused on a woman.
Yeah, she's at the center of it all, an irresistible force. The work is being created and choreographed and conceived by Ihsan Rustem. And he's quite an international, when I say international choreographer, he has quite a interesting background in the fact that he was born in London, but of Turkish heritage, but lives in Switzerland. And he's danced through all through Europe. And I think in reference just to what you were chatting about, international guest artists working with Northwest Dance Project. I think really our focus is working with innovative, creative voices. And they can come from local choreographers, national and international. And really, it's not that, oh, we just say we've got to have international. We're just looking for those new creative voices who perhaps really can add value to what Northwest Dance Project does. And that's what we're really interested in.
It's interesting because I have limited experience really with international artists, but the times that I have experienced theater being made out of the United States, I see ways into the process that are very different than a traditional theatrical process. And for me, I love to bust out the sides of how I think things can be done. And that's exciting to me, you know, to watch probably the people that you work with from various companies, you know, their processes are different. The way they address issues is different, you know, culturally. Do you have something in that?
Absolutely. So the company that we're presenting this week, they started the company by creating these little puppets. They're about a foot high, made out of papier-mâché, glue, newspaper, and chopsticks. They have no faces, discernible faces, that they dress very simple. And they started by making these, manipulating them, observing human behavior, figuring out how to mimic a human gesture in the form of these puppets. They have three puppeteers for each puppet, so working together as kind of a unified group. And then they decided to make this story about this miner. They went to this tiny town. They spent time with the people living there, interviewing them. And then they went away and made this piece. And they came back and actually presented it in the town and got the community's feedback about it. And last night, we had the privilege of watching a little documentary about that process at the program that we did at the Central Library. And there's a beautiful part in the documentary where the audience who are comprised of these miners living in the town say, you know, these are our stories. Every single part of this is not invented. This is exactly our lives. And, you know, it's kind of an homage to our many generations of art. So this way in which both craft and also kind of topical resonance of subject matter linked to community and all these things really make this particular work special. And that's certainly what we're looking for when I try and find works to present in Portland.
So here's a question that's maybe crass, but how does that type of work get funded in Chile?
It's a very complicated system, and certainly when you come to see the show, you'll see a very, very long funding page with many, many logos. And so this particular piece, there are, of course, in other countries, they have ministers of culture that support the creation of new works. And particularly in Western Europe, they have these amazing creation centers where artists go for 6 months to a year to make a new piece, and that's all they're working on.
Which we could surely do here if we decided to.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and all it takes is a couple of really terrific funders. I mean, that's why I really bring it up, because we're finding there's a shift now. We're finding that there are going to be potential cuts in the NEA and other places where we are looking for funds to do these types of important works. And now we're going to have to really be innovative about how to get that happening here in the United States.
And if I'm going to really make a statement and stab at this question, I think we're at a point as organizations and arts organizations that we do, I think we constantly get some meager support to always start new programs. And yet what really most art organizations are aching for is operating support, just to fund each individual arts company. And we realize how little is given to just the basics. And I think so many arts organizations are just needing that. And it's something that's not realized enough. You can keep creating new, but how do you support the actual anchor of an organization? And I think this is really advocacy that we need, is actually the main core of each organization and having operating support. And that's what's diminishing tremendously in this country.
One thing I will say is that our community can step forward by individuals deciding that they want to support the arts.
Yes.
And the more individuals in our community who make that decision will help to counteract these the times we live in and the kind of, you know, volatility at the government level. So individuals can make a major difference mm-hmm. by deciding that they want to underwrite a production or underwrite a company member or make a large gift that kind of recognizes and appreciates the cost of creating art.
And I love the idea of non-theatrical, non-artists participating in the process in that way. If they become a funder, they're a member of the family of that artistic institution.
Absolutely.
They get to enjoy the creative process, see how that process might spill out into their life. I mean, I'm a firm believer that the artistic process is just an incredible thing to observe and to employ in your own life. And I just encourage everybody who's listening to jump into that world if you're able. And I want to remind you that this is KBOO, Portland Stage and Studio. I'm Susanna Mars in for D-May Roberts. And I'm with Sarah Slipper from Northwest Dance Project and Ruth Wickler-Luker from Boom Arts. And just in case, because this conversation is going so beautifully, I want to make sure we get in what's actually coming up with these wonderful companies. March 8th and 9th, Boom Arts is presenting Chiflón El Silencio del Carbón, The Silence of Coal, which is created and performed by Silencio Blanco from Chile. The performances will be at 7:30 p.m. It's free and open to the public, and seating is limited. You can find ticket information at boomarts.org. And then also, Sarah Slipper, they will be presenting Carmen March 16th through the 18th at the Newmark Theater. And you can find ticket information for Carmen at northwestdanceproject.org. And as Sarah said, this will be the first full-length commission of the company, and that's very exciting. So in regard to Carmen, it's a new production entirely. And I mean, I was gravitated to this because I used to watch Project Runway, that Michelle Lesniak is designing your costume. So tell us what is exciting about Carmen this time around.
It's a really exciting project for the company. It's a first really narrative direction for our resident choreographer, Isan Rustam. This is kind of the next step, the next level. It's a collaboration that we have never had an opportunity as a dance company to do. And one of them you mentioned is Michelle. I've been a big fan of her as well. That's my secret pleasure, Project Runway. So it's a pleasure to see her win that and then actually come full circle and work with the organization. And I've seen her designs come to life. They're phenomenal. We also have a set designer, Luis Crespo, who is actually based in Europe. And that is a first, to really have someone collaborating with our choreographer and set design, lighting design, this incredible, exciting music that is actually the traditional. It's based on the opera from Bizet, mm-hmm. but it's Sheridan's version. And we're putting the modern twist on it because we're bringing it into sort of, I want to say, a contemporary value. The story is really following the traditional story of Carmen, but there is a twist ending, a surprise ending. So Isan wanted to just surprise everybody. And so audiences can expect that. And I think what's really also has just been watching this incredible creative process of the dancers bringing the characters to life. They've really gone in depth to explore each character. And that's really exciting. So it's not abstract dance, contemporary dance. It's contemporary dance with these background stories, which, you know, Susanna, as an artist, you can delve into it and it adds sort of that power of presence. And it's very exciting for the company because we've also had a lot of interest expressed in the production, both from locally and from a touring point of view. Mm. And so we're very excited about that. And it's going to be interesting to see the impact it has, that the world premiere is here in Portland, to see on our audiences and how they are going to appreciate the experience as well.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking about both pieces and I realized that they're both silent. I mean, you have music. I was mostly thinking about words. And I have come to this recently, you know, words are so overrated. And I'm kind of a little tired of words right now overall. And I wonder if you, what do you think about the pieces? I mean, and I know, Ruth, you bring pieces that are wordless and wordful, because I've seen both in your space. And what do you think about what that contributes, that silent aspect, which I really find fascinating and extremely moving and beautiful?
I can speak about this particular piece because I learned from the artists about what silence means to them for this. The puppets have no discernible facial features, and there are no words. For the artists, the effect of this is that the audience member inscribes their view and their imagination onto what's going on. So it leaves much more room for the audience member to fill in their own blanks. And it was interesting to hear them, the artists, speak about touring. This is the end of their tour. They've been touring in the U.S. Since January, and we're the eighth city that they've visited on this tour, which is extraordinary. But they said that every town, whether the town had a mining history or not, the audience came away feeling that the piece was about them, and that it didn't matter whether there was a mining history. It's interesting because it is the silence. It is the absence of there's specificity in the gestures of the puppets, mm-hmm. but as a viewer, you have a lot of room to put your own meaning, and it's kind of like the difference between a book and a movie, where if you read a book, you're conjuring all the visuals in your mind, whereas a movie fills it all in. So the puppets having no words and having no details in that way has the same function. Mm-hmm. I will say I love many kinds of theater, including playwright-driven theater, but I'm also a big fan of physical theater, and I have a funny background. I used to be a contemporary circus director, and I'm a graduate of a contemporary circus and physical theater school. Oh. So I am a big convert to the power of the body to communicate and demonstrate rigor and have visuals and objects be part of the communication that happens in theater.
Well, and the pieces that I've seen that have had puppets and that have been similar in, well, not similar, but used puppets, it made me think of you, Sarah, because it's very choreographic that if each puppet has three operators, there's a lot there in physical, just what you're able to convey.
Absolutely.
About that experience of watching humans operate another creature, you know, it's so rich in meaning. I wondered if you'd ever done any pieces with puppets.
We haven't. I know Crystal Pite, international choreographer, has actually really physically worked with puppets. And yet, also, in a way, when we say this, we use imagery in some of our contemporary movement almost like a puppet, and it becomes manipulation of a dancer can actually be almost the same form, whether it's another dancer physically using another component of a dancer through steppage, or just the imagery of using it. That if, because often I'll refer, it's interesting in my own work, I'll say you have strings on you. And so the arm will be moved by somewhat imaginary strings, and then it's cut and released. And what does that achieve in movement? So it can be there, you know. And other times, for me, the language of the body is so, so expressive mm. and can tell so many stories and so much emotion. And the simplicity of a simple gesture or contraction of the torso, it's like an international language. It speaks to the human spirit. It's an expression, and it gives voice. And I feel that is this magical language of the human body. What it can say, and yes, we don't need words.
It's so interesting because I got the chills about four times while you were talking, because it's just so simplistic, that ability to watch something so simple and beautiful, and feels like we're missing the boat in that way in our culture right now, is being able to observe each other and see the beauty in such simple mm. moments.
And maybe it's because we put up walls. I'm not sure. And sometimes when you, there's a vulnerability when you see a performance and you're watching someone really open themselves up and share and give it, you know, it's a give too.
Monthly test of the emergency alert system. This test was originated by the Multnomah County Emergency Management Agency in cooperation with other emergency management agencies, broadcasters, and cable operators. This system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life, health, or property. If this has been an actual emergency requiring immediate action or evacuation, official messages would have followed the alert tone. This test will conclude in 5 seconds.
There was some sort of sloppiness about...
Where are my kids?
You know, it's. I was thinking about this question on my way here, and one thing I was thinking about is my work is really about relationships, so many different kinds of relationships, and that's the great pleasure of what I do. It's relationships with community partners, relationships with artists, it's relationships with colleagues that by connecting with each other, we can facilitate tours in the United States of international artists. It's about relationships with audience, it's about relationships with donors and supporters. So really, most of what I do is relationship, is fostering, tending, checking in on those relationships all in so many ways, and family too.
Right. Yeah. It's all the same, essentially, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I think about, it can get overwhelming when you think of the amount of work that a director, I am the founding director of Northwest Dance Project, but I think the ultimate is it encompasses my life, but it is my life. And I take great pleasure in that life. And I think, yes, there are very stressful times and hard times and struggling times, but that's all part of, I think, as an artist, as a young artist, I learned at a very early age is that is what, you know, the drive and the determination and the commitment is really what you're very passionate about. And a lot of these performing arts are dealing with, as Ruth said, relationships and people and caring about people and working with people and collaborating with people and creating with people. And it's a very rewarding and very fulfilling. So the long days and the long hours, really, they're very worthwhile because you're dealing with artists and people.
Yeah, I'm realizing, you know, the gift of being a resident artist at Artist Rep, you know, is that same thing. You're developing really close relationships with the people you love to work with. So it's just what you both said is really heartening for me as an artist to hear, because it is challenging to make time for all the wonderful things you want to do, but it's our life. So I'm going to remind our listeners what pieces are coming up now so that they can go, because they're incredible. March 8th and 9th, Boom Arts is presenting Chiflón El Silencio del Carbón, The Silence of Coal, created and performed by Silencio Blanco from Chile. The performances are at 7:30. It's free and open to the public, and seating is limited.
And it's at Reed College.
Right. Oh, and I also want to remind everyone that there's a family-friendly puppet workshop today at 6:30 p.m. at Centro Cultural of Washington County. So go on to the website and find out about that, too. That sounds wonderful. And then Northwest Dance Project will be presenting Carmen March 16th through 18th at the Newmark Theater. And to find ticket information about that, you can go to northwestdanceproject.org. And I want to thank Tave, our incredible engineer today. And again, thanks to Demay Roberts for allowing me to sit in for her today on KBOO's stage and studio. So get out there, see lots of theater, be a funder, make friends with artists this week, and have a great International Women's Day tomorrow.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thanks for coming.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project annual benefit show on Friday, March 10th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Levin Community Center in Portland. Blue Mountain's Biodiversity Project is a forest defense organization that has been successfully defending eastern Oregon forests for the last 25 years against ecological destruction. This benefit features music by A Stick, A Stone, Cinder Well, and Johanna Warren, as well as humor, storytelling, and more. Again, that's the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project annual benefit show on Friday, March 10th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Levin Community Center, 5431 Northeast 20th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Take it to the beach, diggy, take it to the beach, diggy, take it to the beach.
That's what we planned, but she stood me up. Roxanne, Roxanne.
Roxanne, Roxanne.
I wanna be your man.
Roxanne, Roxanne.
And here's our game plan.
Here's your game plan. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, March 9th, just before midnight, as we celebrate a trip back in time to Queens, New York, 1984, as Roxanne Shanté and UTFO go at it. We'll be dropping tracks from the Roxanne Wars and celebrate her brand new hip-hop bio.